So Faith Saley has a very serious job this morning. Any idea what that is?
I'm not even going to hedge to bet.
Well, she has to convince me that there's stuff going on at the convention that really matters, and that there's information about, you know, the politics, the characters, the pageantry that I need to take away here on The Takeaway. Faith, good morning.
Good morning, y'all.
Faith is our Takeaway Convention correspondent, and we now do return live to Denver in the Democratic National Convention. And we sent our contributor, Faith Saley, to the streets of Denver last night to try to answer some of my cynical questions about the pageantry and the significance of this convention.
That's going to take a long time, Faith. But I feel your pain.
She actually, you found some stuff on the streets there. Hey, Faith.
John, you are a tough nut to crack.
Okay,
yes. Let me ask you this. Do Segways matter, those people movers? If you saw an elephant on a Segway, would that matter to you?
That would matter to me. An elephant on one of those two-wheel Segways?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to be honest, it was a person dressed in an elephant costume. But
that's not the same thing, Faith.
I saw an elephant and a donkey on Segways yesterday, and their very presence and their actions convinced me that Republicans actually don't want to go negative with their campaigning. I went up to these guys, people of course were taking pictures with them, and asked them if they ever fight, and the elephant shook his head no and tried to hug the donkey, and the donkey lifted up his fists and punched the elephant. And I said, you guys, that doesn't seem very bipartisan. And I said, Mr. GOP, people accuse you of wanting to go negative in this campaign. Do you think that's a good idea? And he sadly shook his head no, and the donkey gave a thumbs up. So that was one myth that was busted, Republicans want to go negative.
The myth of Republicans going negative. All right, what are some others?
Well, one assumption of mine that was shattered was, you walk down these streets, and there are all these folks selling Obama merchandise and watches that say time for change and, the pins. And I sort of assumed that an African-American hawking Obama merchandise would want to vote for Obama. So I decided to ask this guy what he does for a living, if this is something that happens every 4 years or if he hawks merchandise all the time. Said his name was Craig. He was African-American. Said he's been a Republican his whole life and just this year decided to vote Democrat because of Obama. And now he's changing his mind. So he's got, a whole host.
Being at the convention changed his mind?
Yeah. And I kept asking him why. He just said, I don't feel it. And I said, well, am I going to see you next week at the Republican convention? He said, yeah. He said, I'm making up my McCain buttons now. I haven't made up my mind, but I'm making up the buttons.
So maybe his sales were down.
They
do say that the Democrats are not as big tippers as the Republicans. The cabbies always say that.
Oh, well, let's talk about cabbies. The cabbies here are wildly well-informed politically. Now, this is my empirical study with, two out of two cab drivers I've talked to about politics.
Knock yourself out there, Faith. Yeah.
Yeah. there might be this assumption that locals would not be as into the DNC, happening as the professional politicos who are here. I went to a viewing party, which basically means a flat screen TV, an open bar, cheese. And I was there at one last night when Joe Biden was speaking, and nobody was paying attention. They were enjoying themselves. Maybe they've had overload, but these are all people who are in town for the convention, and no one was paying attention. So I decided to go to – I asked somebody, what's a great local restaurant? So I went to a local restaurant. And I got to tell you, the hostess, as she sat me at the bar, said, we never turn up the volume on our, TVs. It's always closed caption. But they had the volume full blast on Joe Biden's speech. And the servers, the bartender, people were coming out from the kitchen to watch his speech. And there was applause. There were people yelling, I'm voting for his mother. I had not seen such enthusiasm exhibited by any of the, quote-unquote, professional politicos who were in the streets and the
bars. Politicians were blasé, but the restaurant workers were riveted.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it was really
What about the stars? I mean, celebrities all over the place, right?
Well, I mean, if you count, Sean Penn and Moby as huge celebrities, yes. I think there's probably a myth that a star makes a great after-hours party. And at this point, over the last two nights, I've been to maybe eight or so parties. And I'd say the best ones last night didn't really have stars. I was invited to one that's hosted by a Latina delegation, and Rosario Dawson was there, and Jessica Alba, and Fat Joe. It wasn't all that exciting. It had the best Rice Krispie treat I ever had, but the best party I went to was with the the Black Caucus, and Willie Brown was there, if you count him as a star.
He's a pretty fun-loving guy.
But really. Well, the whole party was fun-loving. What was so great about it was like this labyrinth of different rooms at this club called Bar Standard, and in every single room, completely different decor and completely different live music. So it was like 70s funk upstairs and sort of New Orleans jazz downstairs and liquid jazz in another room. And I have to say, it was an exciting night to be there. I'm not usually in an atmosphere where I'm virtually the only white person. And yesterday had felt so historical. It was, you know, the day that we no longer had to call Barack Obama the presumptive nominee. And it felt like tonight should belong to African Americans. I was very excited to be at that party. Another great party was a dessert party hosted by the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. No loud music, nobody looking too fancy, but like a ton of big burly guys eating pedophores wearing make out not war stickers. So that was a great party too. Oh, and you know, one more myth about stars. You always hear, oh, they're so small in real life, right? Nuh-uh. I went jogging yesterday morning. I ran by David Gregory. He's like 6'6".
He's not a star.
Well,
David Gregory,
that's arguable, right?
Yeah, I've seen all his movies.
I have to tell you guys one myth that was confirmed.
Yep.
Have you heard about Nancy Pelosi's crash box? Have you ever heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so apparently.
You're scaring me, Faith.
Well, apparently she's been having trouble getting around town, and she's late for events. And I heard from a very good source that because she is, you know, only two heartbeats away from the presidency, she travels with what they call a crash box, which is like a mobile panic room, like a porta potty / bunker. And that's
because she's in the line of succession. She's in the line of succession,
exactly.
Right?
So if something happened to her, they throw her in the crash box.
And then what do they do with her?
Well, then they give her the briefcase with the keys
in the red phone
for the nukes. Yeah, right. That's exactly right. Oh, well, that's interesting. That's interesting, and that makes Nancy Pelosi's traffic problems a little more significant. Faith Saley, thanks so much for being our takeaway convention correspondent. Faith Saley, of course, live from Denver, and she busted some myths for me.
Yeah, stars, they're not all short.
Well, David Gregory is not a star.
So. Anyhow, today on The Takeaway, the Democratic National Convention continues, and so does our coverage. Barack Obama, well, he became the official nominee. A former U.S. Marine takes the stand in civilian court. Actually, he doesn't take the stand. What he does is he's going to be judged by a jury. Hurricane Gustav tears toward the Gulf Coast 3 years after the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina.
And speaking of Katrina, the city of New Orleans devastated 3 years ago. How has New Orleans changed? We want to hear your thoughts at 877-8-MY-TAKE. How has the U.S. changed? Have we done enough?
Here's the takeaway, maybe.
I mean, you can make as many plans as you want to, but sometimes something like Hurricane Katrina is going to come in the way.
That was Amani Jembekar with some words of wisdom. Amani is a senior at Tulane University who had to switch schools after Katrina. She's back at Tulane, and she graduates in May.
Check out our Patchwork Nation series and the multimedia from the Democratic National Convention. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.